5 o'clock, we'll head and call our October 6, 2025 Columbia Pre-Council meeting to order. We've got a couple of things on our agenda, and up first is our strategic plan, so I'll kick it over to our Assistant City Manager, Carol Rose.
Thank you. Stacy and I are here tonight to talk about a refresh or an update to the current strategic plan, which was adopted by council in 2021. You have been provided, the council and the public have been provided with three documents: the PowerPoint presentation, which Stacy will run through this evening, the items staff are recommending be included in a scope of work. While there is no one-size-fits-all approach to strategic planning, we, the city, are seeking a consultant to assist us in those efforts, and so we will be seeking council input on the items that, or the components, that you would like to see included in the RFP. You have also been provided with the strategic planning flowchart, and this was developed with the intention of showing council how our other processes align with the strategic planning process and how everything will tie in together starting in January, basically, when we have the community survey results. So with that, I'm going to kick it over to Stacy. We'll have a few decision items that we're seeking council feedback, and that will conclude the presentation.
Hi, good evening. So first, kind of just an overview. We thought it would be useful to talk about a bit about our current plan and the process that brought us here, specifically the engagement process that we went through with the community, with staff. We also want to review the proposed scope of work that that you have in front of you and kind of talk a little bit about that, and then really focus in on the feedback that we're hoping to get from you all this evening. So our current strategic plan development for it started in 2018. We got input from not only the city council at the time, but the community and staff. The goal for this was to really build a plan from the ground up. That's something that our city manager at the time talked a little bit about whenever we were going through this process, is that we would start with frontline staff and we would kind of work our way up. And the goal was to just really get a lot of staff buy-in specifically. For community engagement, we did a series of 8 focus groups. Of those 8 focus groups, 3 were just broad community-wide, anyone could drop in, and the other 5 really tried to focus on a targeted audience. And a total just under 140 residents participated in those discussions. They were all located at the ARC because it's a good central location and also because it's on a bus line. Here are those specific groups. As I mentioned, the 3 that were just general, open to the public, but we also sought feedback from low-income households, seniors, youth, business owners, and individuals with disabilities. There was kind of the honor system. We weren't like checking birthdays to make sure you were, you know, young enough to participate. So those were opt-in based on your word that you fit in those categories. I wanted to just highlight these because one of the discussion points later on will be, you know, what you all have in mind for community engagement for focus groups as well. What those groups really focused on were, they're kind of framed around these 3 different questions. How would you describe our community if you were trying to get a friend or a family member to move here? What do you feel the most critical issues facing our community in the next 5 years are, and what is the most important thing that the city can do for our residents? So each of those discussions were framed around these 3 questions. From the staff perspective, we started with line-level staff, including 65 frontline staff. Again, the goal of this was to really get a lot of buy-in from the ground up and just kind of build up from there. We really wanted to focus on making sure our staff felt like they had an opportunity to make decisions and that they could be engaged in the process. there are no questions about any of that, I know I'm really breezing through these. For our proposed scope of work, we kind of organized it into five broad categories: data gathering, vision, mission, and values, strategic goals and objectives, action plans, and then implementation and monitoring. So we'll kind of walk through what's included in each of those. In all of these, you'll see a presentation to City Council as needed. That's just to ensure that you all can stay in the loop throughout the process as much as you want to. Again, they all do say as needed, so just wanted to build that into the RFP. So the first, data gathering, that would include compiling our existing data from our community summit earlier this year, from the report of our community summit, as well as from that community survey. In addition to this, it would include a SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. The second piece of it would be assistance with our vision, mission, and values statement. So this would be getting assistance from the consultant to really develop that. In addition to this, we would want to get good engagement from the community as well as staff. We would want assistance with the consultant from that, but of course we would work with our engagement staff, and staff would be involved in this as well. With the engagement for our current strategic plan, a consultant facilitated the sessions because they were a neutral third party, but staff was involved in those as well. And again, we have the presentation to council as needed.
Stacey, can I ask you, in the last time when we did this, we didn't really change the vision and the mission. I think we added a few extra words or edits to the mission. From your research into other cities' strategic plans, I mean, most cities have pretty much the same.
It's pretty
vision.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. How often do they change it, or is it just kind of updates? What have you seen happen with that?
I'm not sure how often they change it, but I can kind of look into a little bit more on that. Like you mentioned, a lot of them are pretty similar. Even the broader priority areas, city to city, are fairly similar.
Right.
I don't know, Carol. Do you?
I think my question is because I want to make sure that staff and the consultant and the community are spending their time where it's useful,
right.
And I don't want to spend like a ton of time wordsmithing
sure.
if it's gonna be the same vision.
Sure.
I just wonder. Yeah, Nick.
In looking at the groups that you in the focus groups, how was outreach done to reach each one of those so that we felt like we had a good representation among those groups?
So we had an application that folks would, that was a press release, of course, with an application for each of those individual focus groups, where folks could sign up. We were limiting the focus groups to 20 to 25 people because anything beyond that becomes unable to deal with. And so we did we probably could have done a better job in terms of, like we reached out on business owners, we worked with the chamber. Individuals with disabilities, I'm sure we reached out to the Disabilities Commission. Youth, we have the Youth Advisory Council. Low-income households, I'd have to go back and look at my notes on that. It's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, that one in particular is of interest. I think, it's difficult very often to reach out and to connect with those folks. So I think it takes probably a little bit extra effort and some intentionality about reaching out to partners who can help to make that kind of connection.
I think it's going to be important, as Stacy mentioned, the consultant that we used the last time, they were simply there to facilitate the conversation. And now that we have the engagement department, we would rely heavily on them to help us identify the key stakeholders that we would need to reach out to in order to draw from those different groups.
That's a great idea, building
so,
on things we've already been
yes,
putting
in place. Yes, we are in a much better position in terms of engagement because we have the engagement team in-house.
That kind of gets us to the decision point that we wanted to discuss tonight, your thoughts on what focus groups would be, if we would still want to have targeted groups or if we would want them to all just be kind of like broad, generally open to the public. We plan to build in focus group workshops and town halls, but the purpose of that is to just kind of keep it broad to see what the recommendation of the consultant would be. So we can talk about this now. I also have this exact same slide later in the presentation, so we can circle back to it.
We can do it at that time.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next component would be assistance in developing our goals and objectives. So this would be focusing on those broad, long-term goals for the city, as well as objectives that are smart, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And we would want assistance with both short-term goals and then long-term as well. We would also include action plans. This would be kind of where attention to resource allocation would be. Assistance in developing kind of a roadmap that shows like where our goals are and what resources we would need to put behind them to make sure that we're able and a good place to accomplish those. And then assistance developing those key performance indicators as well.
Stacey, can I ask on that one really quick? Is that where you foresee kind of like some of Jackie's questions around the relationship to the budget really coming from in here that we'll hear back from staff on what how that might tie into this roadmap?
Yeah, I think so. Then finally, implementation and monitoring, as well as reporting. So we would want assistance not only in preparing that final report, but also recommendations on how to keep City Council aware of where we are throughout the life of the plan, how to keep the community involved, how to keep staff involved, just so we can make sure everyone really is in the loop on that. We would want their recommendations for what routine reporting would be, what it would look like, what the frequency would be, and that sort of thing. And then, obviously, the presentation to council as well.
So would that mean that coming up with a plan for moving forward, what that communication looks like? Or would that mean they would continue to step back in and help facilitate that communication over the course of the implementation process?
It's a great question. I think Carol can tell me if she agrees with me or if we're on the same page. My thought was that it would be kind of a plan for us to enact moving forward to keep all stakeholders informed throughout the life of the plan, not necessarily the consultant stepping back in each time to assist with it.
Again, I think on the communication plan, we would rely on the consultant to provide some basic guidelines and then work very closely with the Sydney and her team to make sure that we were communicating the plan both not only externally to the public but internally to the city employees so that they're aware of the progress that is being made toward the plan.
So I think on that, so in my experience working sometimes with consultants who help you develop the plans, then they get done and move on. So I think any sort of ongoing, both like the templates and the timing of when we should expect to then do the update, similar to what you're doing now, those quarterly, like if they, by reflecting on what they've heard throughout the development of the plan, if they can then be looking forward on what they think the expectation of the templates could be, that will help, I think, a lot with staff. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I've noticed with that too is sometimes you can continue to engage them to run something for you, right? The dashboards or pieces like that. So if something like that comes in, I don't know how strict we are being with our RFP into this, if the scope of services is that's it, or if there's any sort of flexibility for them also to propose to us where they see best practices. I think I'd be interested if that's a thing.
I think that might be something else that we would want some guidance from you. Kale from our purchasing division is here this evening to help us answer questions just like that. So,
okay.
So generally speaking, a proposed timeline for this would be getting the finalized scope ideally done soon so we can issue the RFP this month. We would hope to award the contract by the end of the year. So by doing it by January, it would give us enough time to accept proposals, review them, and then ideally we would be starting the process with the new year with the consultant. And again, back to those decision points that we really wanted to kind of hone in on this evening.
Do you have, you have in here X for all of these. Do you have suggested ones of what you're doing?
Well, we're hoping to get some of that from you to help kind of fill those out.
All right, yeah, Nick.
Well, I think this one might well look different than the last time it was done, and largely because there have been a number of things that have enhanced communication in the community, and people have some expectations now about how that looks. So looking back at things we were already doing, town halls, Let's Talk Local, those kinds of things I think would be good. But also the smaller groups are really helpful because you're more likely to have conversations in those small groups. And so I think it's probably a little bit of all of that. But I just think the setting is different than it was several years ago when this was done the first time. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Can you go as far as the targeted groups and minimum number? I think it might help us if you could bring up the slide that you had last time's focus groups. And the question that I would put to council is this, you know, the sort of number and the audiences that we think? Because I think that would be good guidance. This is a way to go. To me, this was good. It was capturing more than just the public at large. It was capturing specific ones that we often don't hear. What was staff's response to reviewing this? Were there any that they didn't, you know what I mean, that we felt was missing from the last time? Probably a Carol question, since Stacey, I don't know if you were here when we did the last development.
You're asking me to go way back in my memory here. I believe that the groups that we have identified are a great representation of the community in terms of the focus groups. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I would add. I certainly would not want to eliminate any of those. Shauna is here. She might have some thoughts on whether or not, based on her experience working with the community connectors, we are missing a population. But I think that this list is strong.
Yeah, Vera.
So I have a question and then maybe a suggestion of an additional group. But in the previous focus groups, did we track what wards were attending and whether we were reaching out and getting input from all of the wards?
Oh, God. I should know this because I was looking through that report to make sure I could, you know, if you had any questions about what the hot topics were. I don't remember, but I can look into it. We can get an answer to you all.
I don't think we would want to do ward-specific focus groups, because that would double the number of focus groups you'd be doing. But it would be good to know that, particularly when it comes time to the public at large, so we know whether we need to be actively reaching out to our communities to get input from our neighbors there. The other piece, because it is very top of mind right now with a lot of public comment we've been receiving at the last few meetings, we've heard a lot with that community trends manual about income and job disparity among people of color in the community. So that might be a good group to potentially have a separate focus group on to look at how we can be supporting them in our strategic plan.
Yeah, Jack.
For focus groups, have you ever considered having a college student focus group?
That is a great idea. We have not.
I think that'd be something to consider, especially since we have three big ones and then some satellite campuses.
Right. So we'd be happy to add that.
Thank you. I was also, here's another group I'm thinking of, but I'm not, I'm thinking of groups, but I also don't want to, like, groups be targeted. So let me think about that.
yeah, it's tough, isn't
it? Yes, it is. As far as focus groups, and I know you mentioned having, like, the town halls and things at the ARC, but I am always thinking about accessibility, and IT is going to hate me for saying this, but would there be a possibility of having virtual options so that people who don't have transportation or don't have childcare would be able to provide their opinion with the city having control of the microphone?
That is something that we can look into.
Can I speak more generally outside of focus groups?
Well, let's do focus groups because then we'll get into like the number of things that you have as well.
Yeah, I think Kale might have maybe.
Do you want to come up to the microphone?
Yeah.
There's an extra one here.
Okay.
We're down. Down in and introduce yourself, Kale, for those who haven't met you.
I'm Kale Turner. I'm the purchasing agent for the city. I think a lot of this, I mean, I don't know how specific we want to get in listing certain groups, but rather ask those questions in the RFP and then those be part of the evaluation process. Just a thought. Because that, in my opinion, is a true RFP. We know what solution we want necessarily, but we don't know how to get there, so we want people to present how they would get there and what it would cost to get there, of course.
So are you suggesting then that we write, like, you suggest the focus groups covering the diversity of our community as well as their, to Jackie's point, their ways of doing it, like the execution of it can be flexible as far as location, virtual, and in-person?
In my opinion, yes. That's the best way to go about it.
And then
if we need to have minimums, if we need to have minimums, then I would maybe suggest we could put those in there, but I don't know. It gets real muddy when you do that because then they just quote the minimum of what's there, so.
If we put up an RFP very generally, knowing that there were items or groups from the last process that we wanted to have, are we going to be limited in our choices on the other end? That's my only concern.
I think we would in the RFP, Kale, correct me if I'm wrong, we would just say maximum number of 10 focus groups, and then we could decide what those focus groups look like.
Yes, and part of the issue is we also will get to negotiate a contract with whoever the vendor is. And so in that contract negotiations, we can highlight, here's the groups that we want to make sure that you reach. And so part of what Kale's saying, have it more open and broad, but we can narrow the scope more once we actually decide who we're going to work with and have those conversations.
Yeah, and we can also have a best and final offer process if what we get is not what we're after, and then ask them specifically if we can include certain groups and how much that would change their proposal. So there's always that. We don't like to force them in a certain direction in a best and final offer process because that can lead to other issues down the road, but we can generalize things.
That makes sense to me. I rather like the groups that we had, and I think that we were going in a smart direction. I also want to be open to receiving what the experts think, because we may have new creative ideas.
Okay. And I think that's a best practice right now in the purchasing world, is to try to open that up, because a lot of these, they've seen what has worked and what hasn't in other communities. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, just something else to kind of keep in mind. I wonder about those who are participating in the Citizens Academy, in large part because they come in with certain perspectives on what's going on in the city and how things work. At the end of that process, their perspective has changed. And what we're looking for here is a variety of perspectives, or it may or may not have changed, but at least they're greater informed about the things that they see and they think about. I don't think you'd want to include that in the RFP. I'm just saying that would be a group that I think might be interesting.
This would definitely be something that if we had an open to the public focus group, I would send it to all the past, current and past participants to let them know about the opportunity.
Do your direction on focus groups?
Do we want to do a maximum number? Kel, was that your recommendation?
My recommendation is not to do a maximum or a minimum. All right. That's
leave that to
them. And then ask the question and make sure we ask the direct question in the RFP, because that'll be part of the method of performance evaluation, if you will.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And then the next question was on number of workshop. Can you go to the, your next question for us? Sorry, I made you jump all around. So I'm assuming that we will want a minimum in this one, or workshops, unless you're saying also similar with the town halls, have them suggest the number.
Could do it both ways. My suggestion would be yes on both of them, do it the same way.
Yeah.
Be a general, and they provide us what their proposal is. And that becomes a main part of the evaluation of the method of performance.
Thoughts from council? Yeah, Valerie.
Not that I need this to be included in the RFP, but just so I have it fresh in my mind when we review applications. How many workshops and town halls did we have when we were reviewing the budget? That's the most recent town hall broadly that I can remember.
Counting for the whole process or towards the end?
Both.
I want to say 7 town halls, and I wouldn't call any of it a workshop except for the one with council. So we had 3 workshops, if you call our work sessions, and then 7 town halls. Yes, Kira. You're not allowed to sit next to each other all the time, because then I'm going to keep doing the V mixed up.
It's not our fault our words are next to each other.
I know.
Can you explain the difference between the workshops and the town halls when it comes to this process?
So our intent with this was to just keep it broad, but include both in the RFP, just to see what the consultant's recommendation would be for either.
So they could also propose neither. Or, you know what I mean, like not doing one of them.
Yes.
Kind of this. And I guess one thing I want to clarify too with council is that the council will not be seeing every application and submission that comes in. That will be reviewed and evaluated by staff, and then we will see the final one. I just want to make sure that we're clear, like, we're not going to be seeing these and scoring them. It'll be, yeah. So if there are things we want to make sure go into the evaluation, as far as that, we should let them know. Yeah,
correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Outside of determining or suggesting the number of these items, where does council input come in? Like, you have focus groups, workshops, and town halls. That's for the public engagement, right? Where does council come in? Do we have any work sessions on this? Are we allowed to have input and help guide?
Again, I would leave it vague so that the consultant would guide the process. And yes, the bottom line is council is engaged in this process. We had a couple of retreats, I call them retreats, meetings with the council, and some of the staff members that were involved in the providing input into the plan to develop out the plan.
Yeah, last time council was involved in like the SWOT analysis, like with staff, sitting at tables with staff as they were doing that. And it kind of gave that opportunity for council to hear from the staff, similar to our retreats, where we could hear from staff. And also, I can't remember if it's all in the wordsmithing of things, but at least the high level objectives, I know that council had been in part of those workshops as well.
And Jackie, you had asked the question about engagement and when that would occur in the process, before or after council input. My recommendation is that the engagement process with the focus groups, the town halls, et cetera, all of those would occur before anything comes to council. You want to have input from the public and the employees before you move forward in trying to develop out the plan.
Yeah, Vera.
Something that I'd love to see in the, not necessarily in the RFP, but in the selection process as you're evaluating RFPs, it sounds like in the focus group last time we did a really good job of engaging people that are already involved with the city, working with our boards and commissions. Those are often people who already know when and where and how to provide feedback to the city. I'd love to know how the vendors intend to engage our constituents that aren't necessarily as involved with the city yet, to see how we'll be getting their feedback and their input for this process. Knowing that that is much more difficult, but that that input is really important.
Other feedback on this part? Jackie, you had a kind of a to-do about your general, or did you get to it? Yeah, Jackie, you want to go with that?
Do we have an estimate of the cost of this?
We included in the FY26 budget $125,000.
And that's to cover all the public events as well, the things that costs that go into that, as well as the consultant.
Okay. I'm also wondering, like, on the back end of this, so when we get the plan written, will we see it, again, I've talked about alignment with the budget, and you pointed out when that will take place, and so we're clear, when we're talking about alignment with the budget, are we going to push to have our priorities listed next to the money that's been allocated for those priorities?
To Carly.
Yeah, part of
the, you can actually take it out of the name.
So,
I think it's in here, too.
That's all right. I know part of it, the government finance office, that is a priority for budgets. For budgeting 101 is to make sure that you show alignment with your budget, with your strategic plan. And so that will be our process. The question is, how does that look? And so that's one of the things that we'll work with consultants about is, in other cities' budgets, how does that alignment look? So you can really understand exactly where the dollars are, where the projects are. So that is a process that we'll make sure that we have included, because it's important for people to actually see that. Because while we say it's in our budget, people want to see exactly where those dollars come from. So yes, that is part of our process.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that that was clearly reflected in the proposal.
Can I ask though really quick on that? My assumption though is that it might not. Fiscal year 27 might not be as obvious.
Correct.
Because we'll be in the development of that. I just want to, okay.
Okay. And then my other kind of back end, in other strategic plan processes that I've been in different settings, those objectives or the value statements have always been listed then in employees' performance appraisals, so that there is a direct tie back between employee performance and the city's strategic plan. So I guess two questions. Is that currently happening? And or will we plan to have more of a clear alignment into the performance plans if there is not currently one?
Okay. I'm going to let Kathy talk about the performance evaluation tool.
Yeah, our current performance evaluation, the cover sheet has the core values and the vision, mission, value, and when department directors and or supervisors develop performance goals for employee, they have to mark whether it's tied to the city's strategic plan and or their department's strategic plan. So it could be both of them or just one of them. So that's currently built into our current performance evaluation process.
So employees should be very aware of how what they are being measured on, how it ties back to the strategic plan.
That is correct.
Other council comments on this? Do you need any other further direction from us?
I hate to bring this up.
No, bring it up.
The current strategic plan does not have an end date, and that was the direction of the previous administration. So you might be thinking about whether or not you want this to be a 3-year plan or a 5-year plan. That may or may not impact the scope of work, but it will impact the short-term and long-term goals that we set forth when we developed the plan.
I think it's always confused me that it didn't have an end date. Knowing that most of the work that's in there is not going to be done within 3 years, but at least you've seen measurable progress towards it. And some of them might be checked off, but knowing that at the same time, we should have a timeline when we're expected to review it and update it and change things if they need changing.
Well, we have reviewed it along the way, right? And there have been some changes to the plan as we've gone along. So I think an end date is a good idea. 3 or 5 years, I'm not sure. But I think also we need to see this as a living document, and we can adjust along the way at the same time.
I think one of the things that an end date is going to assist us in is when to do a rewrite of the plan. And I think that's what I was missing with the last plan. I do think that the reports we got, I believe yearly reports, I can go through them, and I've read them all when we were doing the strategic plan revisions. That's a good frequency, and whether or not all of the goals were measurable, we could see what was checked and how it progressed. I also appreciated the ones that changed in their metrics when we found that we needed a different metric for what we were doing. So that's showing me that we are revising as necessary. That's all.
Yeah, Betsy.
I would say probably a 5-year goal rather than 3. If it's going to take us a year and a half or 2 years to actually get this done, then I think we need enough time to actually implement it and review it.
See some progress. Agree.
Right.
I think one thing I'd just be interested in just throwing this is in general, as a city organization, we have the day-to-day work that the public expects of us. And so I'd be interested as you're reviewing the responses from these groups that have done this before, is how do they manage that the strategic plan is helping us set our strategic, sometimes aspirational, direction they want to see, with also every department's going to make their own internal strategic plan, and they're still doing the day-to-day work. And so how do you do both? And the idea is, right, use that the day-to-day work is helping you achieve those long-term goals. But I think I'd be interested as you're reviewing those evaluations, how they marry what sometimes might be viewed as conflict. Well, I know probably there's a lot in the room that are like, oh, another thing. We just want to do our jobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Which we want you to as well. All right. If there's nothing else on this, I have one other open item before we'll go into close, and it's just a scheduling thing that DeCarlin, I believe. Thank you, Kale. Appreciate it. DeCarlin, I believe. Council wanted, or staff had asked about potential dates and times, so get out your calendars. We're going to do this before we go into our closed session. They're looking to do a 2-hour work session to discuss TIFs, or tax increment financing. This would include a presentation from PGAV planners. They're also looking to do a potential date and time for a 2-hour work session to discuss the transit study and the feedback we've received back from then. Ideally, they were looking at for the week of October 13th for the TIFs and any time before November 7th for the other. So you originally looked at the week of the 13th, and we usually try to think of an off Monday on those. Is anyone not here on the 13th for a late afternoon? Betsy, you're gone.
Yeah, didn't Sheila already ask us for this?
I did, no one has, but there was no agreement, so that's why you guys were discussing it.
Sure.
So you're going
what date?
Can be missing
on the
13th,
14th,
some
15th.
Other way.
I'm away on the 14th and following.
And for this work session discussion, it can be remotely discussed from council members. So if you can't make it to the actual meeting, the idea is just to kind of have this conversation. What we do know is, as we're looking at our business loop, as we're looking at our downtown district, there's going to be a need for us to actually be able to use resources to help with that redevelopment. And the one of those tools is TIF. We've already had a TIF consultant look at the downtown district. They actually met with the Loop District. They've already met with the Loop Board and kind of discussed it. And so the next step is to have that conversation with the City Council.
Do you want us to come on a Monday?
Well, no, because I'm looking like basically no Monday. if I look at, unless October 27th, is there availability October 27th?
And I believe that's the ICMA conference. So
that is correct. Okay, so that's not.
So if you can do it remotely, am I the only one who's gone on the 13th?
I have meetings the night of the 13th.
What about the afternoon? Are you working?
I have a meeting from 3:30 to 4:30 and a meeting from 5 to 6.
Can we have a meeting from 1 to 3 or something?
I have a meeting from 2:30 to 3:30.
Okay, never mind. So much for the 13th.
How about the afternoon of the 14th?
There's a CID meeting on the 14th.
Yeah, that's important. Never mind.
Well, how long does that go, though?
It's 3, well, I have it marked 3:30 to 4:30.
About 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they go later than 4:30.
Could we do it before that on the 14th?
I could.
So you're leaving them, right, Nick, on the 14th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So looking ahead for the following week, what does the 21st look like?
I'm free on the 21st.
Thursday, or that Tuesday afternoon? What, are you back?
I'm good. Oh, yeah.
I'm available after 3.
Okay. and Don's available after 4. Is there, and people can do virtual, remember, for the work sessions.
So could we do 4 to 6 on October 21st?
Could you do?
That is a Tuesday.
Yes.
Hold on, I just went away from that. Yeah, I think I could.
Okay. Is that like a pickup time we can do?
I think I could.
Okay. So put the. So this, you're getting closer to before your November 7th, and I don't think we're going to find one between this date and November 7th. So what's your preference, transit or the TIFFs?
Shane?
Can we do transit then for this? So we're saying October 21st, 4 to 6, transit. This is what happens when Sheila writes my script. We do the things that she's been bugging us about doing for a while. The next one is thinking about a 2-hour work session to discuss TIFFs. So I'll be gone the first week of November, so unable to do that. So do you want us to look at that week of October 27th? And is everyone, you guys are, when do you come back?
The 29th.
Okay.
You're in the office the 29th?
No, okay. We're not. We're back on the 30th.
So the 30th of October?
The question is, are you back on the 30th? Like, in town?
I'm taking vacation on the 30th and 31st.
Okay. So then shooting for the week of November 10th. An off Monday. Who's around that week?
Oh, you're looking at the off Monday?
I'm just 10th? Looking at that week of the 10th through an off council Monday week.
I'm here. You can do any
Friday.
Day but Thursday.
I what did you say? Friday.
You can't.
Can do Friday.
That's your day, the 14th?
Yeah, that's it, that week.
Could people do a morning on the 14th?
Yes.
Sorry, what?
Friday, November 14th. I'm sorry.
It's a no school day for those of you with people in CPS, which makes it really hard. Okay,
And so, that Tuesday is Veterans Day.
Yeah.
If anybody cares.
So looking forward to the following week, Tuesday the 18th.
I'm free.
I'll be at the National League of Cities meeting.
Oh, right.
Don and I both.
That's right. 18, let's see, that's November. What is that? 18 through?
18 through 22.
Okay.
I am free the
18th. Well, I think they're leaving, though.
Yeah,
they're going to National League of Cities.
So you're in transit that day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so looking at the 24th, the week
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving,
week.
But.
Did we discuss that?
So the 10th is the it's Veterans Day?
No,
that's the
11th. Wait, what did you, we had something on the 10th. You're gone, you were gone.
Gone.
I thought somebody was gone.
On the 10th?
Only available on the Friday.
Yeah, that's me, I'm only available on Friday.
Yeah. Okay. So the 24th, does everyone have availability midday? No, are you gone the whole week? See, this
well, we might need to do it where we don't have everybody here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's, if because we're now getting into December.
Can either of you participate virtually?
On the...
Depends on the day.
Whatever weeks you guys are talking about.
It depends on the day.
Okay. What day could you maybe...
Which week are you looking at?
The week of November 10th.
I could potentially make the morning of the 10th work.
Morning, Monday morning? Mm-hmm.
8 to 10, 9 to 11? What morning part? 8 to 10?
I could possibly make either of those work.
Yeah. Morning, Vera?
Yeah.
Val?
Yes.
Okay, so November 10th. What works best for you, Jackie? Because is that your conference or your annual?
No, it's just my job.
Okay. Yeah.
Just my job.
So
what day
which
time works best?
We could do it 9 a.m.
Okay. So 9 to 11, November 10th. Does that work for you, Doug Harlan?
Nope.
All right. And then the last one is a potential date and time for an event with legislators. Staff, we're hoping to schedule something for November. This we're going to have to be an email doodle. It's to that point right now.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You got what you need? All right. I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri, to immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to discuss legal actions, causes of action, or litigation involving a public governmental body and confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives and its attorneys pursuant to Section 610.021 of the Rights Statutes of Missouri. Can I have a second?
Second.
Hi, my Betsy. Ms. Buffalo, yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Ms. Elwood?
Yes.
Ms. Sample?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Waterman is not here. Ms. Peters?
Yes.
All right. For those who don't